saying, open my eyes and open my ears and open my mouth and open my heart. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. 119. And verse 18. Psalm 119, 18. Let's read this together. This is a prayer. What does it say? It says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's our prayer this morning, that the Lord would open our eyes. Let's read it together. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, that's our prayer. That's our desire. We pray that through your Spirit, that you would open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to truth today, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Psalm 19 as we have been doing for the last few weeks together as we begin these messages. Let's sing Psalm 19, verses 7 and through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. In the passage that's before us in our study, we are looking at Psalm 19, and we are looking at God's written revelation to us. And we have been discovering week by week that the Word of God is the cause and it has an effect. And the Word of God in its cause is perfect, and its effect in verse 7 is converting the soul. And so the Bible presents us with our position. We have been converted. We are now converted ones. In verse 7, the last part of the verse, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so because it's sure, it can help us in our growth. It makes us wise. And therefore, the Word of God is our principles. And then we learned last week in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Word of God is our pleasure. It's our position, it's our principle, it's our pleasure. But we're also going to discover this morning that it's our perception. Our perception. One of the biggest problems with our nation today is we all have eye problems. And I'm not just talking about cataracts, doctor. And we're not talking about the fact that I went to the doctor last week and got a new prescription. Next Sunday, you won't know me. I'm supposed to pick up my new glasses this Wednesday. These have been faithful for 16 years, these one pair of glasses here. So, But we are looking forward to being able to maybe see a little bit better. But we all have eye problems, but it's not our physical eyes, it's our spiritual eyes. We live in a moral bankruptcy and a time when people are definitely spiritually short-sighted. How sad that people have today sacrificed the eternal on the altar of the expedient. And our eyes fail to see the eternal, and all we can see is what's going on around us, the temporal. What's the cure? God's word. What's the cure? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We read, "Open thou mine eyes." How is he going to do that? By beholding wondrous things out of thy law. The unsaved today are in what the Bible calls spiritual darkness. The unsaved today are in what the Bible calls spiritual blindness. And the Lord Jesus spoke about that when he was here on earth, didn't he? When he said, speaking of some of the religious leaders, he said, it's the blind leading the blind. And because the blind lead the blind, what was going to happen? They're all going to fall in the ditch, right? Because the blind were leading the blind. He made it very clear that even religious leaders were blind spiritually. We also learn in Isaiah 8:20 that those who might be speaking but were not speaking according to God's word, they were deprived of light. They were in the dark. I'm sure that my wife, as she teaches some of her science classes here, eventually they talk about the eye. Talks about how the eye works and how the eye responds to light waves and how it responds to various light waves that have different colors involved in the light waves. Each of the color of the spectrum has a different white light wave according to the color. Sometimes they are a long wave, and the longest waves, I guess, are red. And the shortest waves are violet. Anybody here colorblind? You already know that you're colorblind? All right, I have one there. Colorblind. And so you can't distinguish some of the colors. But the human eye is a very, very delicate structure. It can differentiate between various colors because of the rays and waves that hit the eye. Any of you ever been in a completely, totally dark situation where there's not even one tiny shred of light? My wife and I, many years ago, took our children when they were small to Mammoth Cave, Kentucky. And we were down way in the heart of Mammoth Cave, and they turned off all the lights. And you could hold your hand just like you could see nothing. If it is black, dark, with no light, none of those light waves hitting your eye, how beneficial is eyesight? Has no benefit. Well, today, again, the Word of God is that light wave that takes people who are in absolute spiritual darkness. And what does it do here in verse 8? It enlightens the eyes. That's what the Word of God does. It enlightens the eyes. Until an unbeliever is made alive by the Holy Spirit of God, that blind unbeliever is indeed dead in trespasses and sins. The unregenerate man is in spiritual darkness, and he is helpless to see spiritual realities until the law of the Lord, until the commandments of the Lord enlighten the eye. We have this desperate condition described for us in 2 Corinthians 4. It says there, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." We have been made spiritually alive today through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, our eyes were opened to spiritual things. And now we need that spiritual sight that can properly focus on the things of God. Someone has called the Holy Spirit the divine optometrist. And he has provided the means by where we can have proper perception. And what does he use as his instrument, the divine optometrist? He uses the Word of God as his divine instrument to illumine our eyes today. And so the Word of God will do several things for us when it comes to enlightening our eyes. It will give us, first of all, deep discernment. How many of you think that you want a leader in our nation coming up whenever we have our elections next November and we are electing a new president? How many of you at least want one who has discernment? You know what we are lacking in our nation today? Those who have discernment. And so as we give a deep and obedient and devoted study to the Word of God and to biblical principles, it will deepen our discernment. Do you know it's a fact today that most of the cults that are around today draw their disciples for their cult out of a lot of mainstream denominations where they're not being taught the Word of God. And so they're easily taken away from those kind of churches because they are not discerning. They have never been taught through the Word of God to be discerning. And we know that we need discernment today because we live in a very gullible generation. We have people who believe anything. I sometimes see some things posted on Facebook, and at face value, I look at them and say, wow. But then if you go through, is it Snoops or Snopes or whatever it is, to double check to see whether that's legitimate, sometimes you find out that the whole thing has been made up. It's not true. If I ever choose to use something on the internet as an illustration, one of the things I'm going to do first is make sure it's true. Because there's so many things. Not too long ago, there was a story going around about how some Israeli archaeologist had found some of Pharaoh's chariots and chariot wheels on the bottom of the Red Sea. Wow. Wouldn't that be exciting? Problem was, it wasn't true. Just was not true. He didn't. It was all fictitious, all made up. If it had been true, I would have told you about it before now. But it wasn't true. I went in and checked it first. But we live in a gullible society, and we live in one where slick sensationalism and charisma can sway people who aren't grounded and have discernment today. We have those who have replaced experience for truth. I remember using this illustration before, but when I lived in Atlanta, my responsibilities there in Atlanta, at East Point, Georgia, was a suburb of Atlanta, at Colonial Hills Baptist Church, I had a variety of things that I did in that ministry. I ran a printing press. We printed a lot of things. I ran I taught music for 480 kids. And I was the college and career director for the ministry there. And I would teach a college and career class Sunday morning. We would have the morning service. We'd have the evening service. And then the college and career wanted to have a Bible study after the evening service. So we had another Bible study, and then we all went out to eat. And we had several young people come to our Sunday night Bible study that didn't attend the church on Sunday morning. And they'd come to the Sunday night Bible study. And we had two young men who were very, very, they came from a charismatic church. And one time we started studying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And eventually that led down to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which led us into a study of the spiritual gifts. And this thing kind of just was like a snowball. It started rolling. And for a few Sunday nights, we just were discussing, but we weren't reaching any conclusions. And finally, one Sunday night, I prepared a handout, and I said, I want to get from point A down here to point D and let you see the whole picture, and then we'll discuss a little bit. So I did that study of why we believed some of the spiritual gifts had ceased and were no longer existing. And at the end of it, all of my young people said, we see it, Pastor. We finally understand it. We finally get it. Except for these two young men who were from the charismatic church. And this is exactly what, I am not exaggerating, this is exactly what they did during that study. They took their Bibles, put them under their seat, sat there like this, wouldn't even open their Bibles, and said, I don't care what the Bible says, I've experienced it. That was their exact quote. I don't care what the Bible says, I've experienced it. Well, they had been fooled by their experiences. Satan can do that. And we don't take experience as the authority, we take God's word as the authority. And so God's word, as it enlightens our eyes, it will deepen our discernment. And if we ever have lived in a day when we need discernment, it's today. We need discernment terribly bad. Listen to what Hebrews 5 says. It says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need discernment today. And the law, the commandment of the Lord is going to do what? Enlighten our eyes. It's going to give us that discernment today. And certainly, there are those who, because they don't have discernment, are being taken off into errors of cults and other types of religious movements that certainly are unbiblical. And so, as we study God's word and we are prayerfully able to discern, the Holy Spirit will give us information and teach us and illumine our hearts and minds. You know, there's also another problem today. Personalities often cloud our thinking. A lot of times people are drawn to a certain personality, and unfortunately, too many Christians that are celebrity-oriented lose the ability to be conviction conscious. And just because some celebrity says it, it must be true. But we need to make sure today that we have the Word of God as that which is enlightening our eyes today, and not feelings and not personalities and certainly not these cults. What does Ephesians 5:11 tell us? We should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we should rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians tells us that there's a wide gap between righteousness and unrighteousness, a wide gap between light and darkness, a wide gap between Christ and Belial. And therefore, we are to be separate from those and reprove them. And again, there are all kinds of modern heresies that are flying around, and we need to make sure that we have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. And it's the Word of God that's going to do that for us. Turn to John 17 quickly. Just look at a little verse in John 17 with me. John 17. And look at John 7. John 7, verse 24. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In other words, we need to have the ability to not just judge by outward appearance, but to judge with righteous judgment. And we need to have a spiritual eye to be able to do that. Paul says, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so until a person is born again, until they have the Spirit of God living within them, until they have the Spirit of God who will illumine them and teach them and help them discern, this verse tells us that someone who's unsaved certainly does not have that spiritual discernment. And certainly we live in a time when much of Christianity is very, very shallow. Very, very shallow. And we need that depth of discernment that is absolutely necessary if we are going to live the Christian life and please God. But not only is the Word of God here our perception and helps us discern, but perception also gives us direction. Direction. It's through the study of the Word of God that the believer's direction is determined. Before we were saved, what direction were we all headed? According to the Word of God, we were all on the broad path that leads to destruction. And so we were all headed on the same path in the direction of destruction. And then we heard through the Word, we heard that there was danger in heading in that direction, but that God had made a way where we did not have to suffer that punishment eternally in hell. And so he gave us a way to escape that punishment. And so we found out that there was a new goal in life. A new goal of knowing Christ and serving Christ and living a life that was pleasing to God. And so not only did the Word of God give us discernment, it gives us direction. It points us in the way we should go. We live, as we talked about last Sunday, in a pleasure-mad, self-centered society. And people lack a goal. People lack a cause. People lack direction in life. Aren't you glad that God's Word has always provided goals and direction for our lives? Listen to what was true in Moses' life. Back in Exodus 20, it says, "Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by the armies." What did they do first? They did as the Lord commanded. Then he led them out of Egypt. How did they get direction? By obeying the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and they shall have good success." How do you have a prosperous way? By taking heed and by meditating upon and observing to do all that's written therein. So the Word of God gives us perception to discern, gives us perception to follow the direction God wants us to go in. Certainly, God guided under the Mosaic law, but also today we have wonderful New Testament principles that guide us in our walk, and they enable us to know God's will and to do God's will and to obey. And if you were to take our doctrinal statement here, this is our church constitution, and if you were to look right early in the doctrinal section of the Constitution, one of the very first areas has to do with the Word of God. And certainly, the very Article 1 under our Confession of Faith is Holy Scripture. We believe that the Bible, the Holy Bible, as originally written, was verbally inspired by God and the product of spiritual-controlled men, and therefore has truth without admixture of error for its matter. We believe that it is the true center of Christian union and the only infallible rule for all human conduct, creeds, and opinions. And certainly that's what we state. And so the Bible is that which we look to for discernment, and the Bible is that which we look to for direction today. And the direction of our life always ought to be toward Christ. He is our goal. Hebrews says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That ought to be our goal today. That ought to be our direction in life, to obey. John 16 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me." Jesus was speaking there. And so our whole life, our chief end, is to glorify God and to glorify Jesus Christ. And so we have a new goal in life. We have new direction in life. But last week we had a whole message on this, that the Word of God is our pleasure, but we also see that when we have spiritual perception given to us through the Word of God, we have discernment, we have direction, and we have delight. Delight this morning. If you could pinpoint the number one God that most people pursue in the United States today, what might that be? What did you say? God is love. But let's say, what thing do most people pursue? Things, right? Materialism is the God of this generation. Mammon is the God of millions. Instead of in God we trust, it's in gold we trust. And the Christian has to find his delights not in things, but in the Word of God. Paul had a prayer for believers in Ephesians 1. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. 1 Corinthians tells us, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And so our delight ought to be involved with our perception of how we see things. And certainly our perception has been affected by all those things that we look on around us. We've been reminded in our study of Hebrews on Sunday nights that we need to be walking by faith and not by sight. And we need to understand, according to Paul again in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Peter reminds us that whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What is your joy today? What is your delight? Our passage there in Psalm 19, verse 8, the latter part of the verse says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. He will enlighten our eyes so that we have perception that is discerning, perception that gives us direction, and perception that gives us delight. Where do we need to focus today? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let's pray. Lord, how sad today that many times, even as believers, we have allowed our vision to be clouded with things. We have been allowed our eyes to be drawn after other things that will not give us discernment, that will not give us a direction, and will not give us delight. Lord, the psalmist knew the importance of knowing the commandments of the Lord. He knew they were pure. Father, we're thankful for a book that is inerrant and a book that's pure and clean. And Lord, I pray that we will have renewed determination to be people of the book. Discerning when we are taught something, may we, like the Bereans, search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. Help us to compare all teaching that we hear to the Word of God. Help us to be discerning and not be led astray today by a smooth talker or by a personality or by false doctrine. And then, being discerning, help us to also be heading in the right direction. We are prone oftentimes to follow our own will and our own delights and our own desires. And Father, we pray that we might ever seek to follow your will and your direction. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. Can we say that this morning, Father, in our own individual lives, that we are living all for Christ? And Father, we pray that we might find our delight in your word and in knowing Christ today. May we not be looking to this world for that pleasure or that delight. For that pleasure is fleeting, it's temporary, unfulfilling. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if I would, for a moment here, encourage anyone who might be present with us today who does not know personally Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wonder if there'd be any who would say, you know, Pastor, as I have examined my spiritual life, as the Spirit of God has been speaking to my heart, I recognize that perhaps I'm not really a child of God by faith. I'm not really one who could say, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And I would like to just pause before we close the service tonight and pray for you. I wonder, is there anyone who would say, Pastor, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Would you pray for me this morning as you close your prayer? I want to be sure. Pray for me. If you'd just slip up your hand and I'd see it, acknowledge it, and then you can put your hand back down. Anyone? I'm not sure I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that for sure. Anyone? How many would join me in saying, I want to have a new determination to be more frequently in God's Word and find it as my delight and find it as my direction and find it as my source of discernment? And you say, that's a decision I'm making this morning. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anyone? Yes. Yes. Lord, there's an old song that says, what the world needs most is love, sweet love. But we know that's not true. What the world needs most is God's word and Christ. So help us to make that our goal of knowing you and helping others know you. Bless each one who raised their hand. May indeed we find grace and strength and wisdom to spend more time in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.